Welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, brought to you by the South Florida chapter of the International Coaching Federation, where our goal is to engage, motivate, and inspire. On the Coach's Corner, we speak with the great professional coaches of ICF South Florida. We hear about what compels them to coach. We talk about the people they support and the tools and the techniques that they use to get the job done. Coaching is a hugely specialized craft, and this inside look at the power and the promise of coaching is both an exploration and a celebration of our member coaches, their talents, and their client successes. Hello, I'm Eric Gorris, a member of the ICF South Florida Programming Committee and host of the Coach's Corner podcast. If you're a coach, I'd like to invite you to visit the ICF South Florida website so you can learn more about our chapter's benefits and program offerings. To learn more, go to icfsouthflorida.org. Check out our calendar of events, and if you find an event that interests you, register for free as our guest. Just use the promo code PODCAST. Today we speak with Kevin Hunting, an emotional intelligence-based coach who works with senior executives, which makes sense because Kevin spent his pre-coaching career as a marketing executive at some companies you've heard of, Banana Republic, Fossil, and General Electric, to name a few. Today we'll talk about Kevin's path to coaching, his training at IPEC, and how he used the basis of his IPEC training to develop his own developmental coaching program for his clients. And now, without further ado, Kevin Hunting. Kevin Hunting, thank you so much for being here today. Let's just go ahead and get into it. Tell me, what was it that led to you being the coach that you are today?
So it was probably 3 years ago when that all took place. And it just honestly was life really led me to a place where I was like, I fundamentally want to be doing something different. I wasn't sure exactly what that was, but I did know that it was more about taking the time and stopping to breathe and to figure it out. And so that's what I did. Actually, an individual came into my life roughly around that time, which was sort of assigned to me in many ways, who was a coach. I didn't know that at first, but their background was also in coaching. And it was really through those conversations with this individual who was in Australia that I started to ask more questions about, you know, what do you do? Like, how do you do it? Was really getting curious about what this person's path was. And the more that they kept sharing with me what they were doing, I recognized that I was like, wow, I'm feeling like it's lighting me up in different ways in terms of how I was feeling, even about what I was listening to and the information that was being shared. And I thought, my God, this is me. Like, I've been doing this for a lot of my life in corporate settings. So I was like, the light bulb went off. There was a moment. And if anyone, you don't know me, but what you will know about me is once that happened, sort of that light bulb and the trigger went off, there was just a deep-seated need for me to really do the research behind getting into coaching, that this was my path. There was a reason that this person came into my life when they did. And then I sort of took off. I just started doing a lot of research. I did a lot of research online about programs. And that has led me to where I'm at today, which is managing my own practice.
That's awesome. Thank you for taking us through that. And you know, Kevin, you sit here today with your ACC and you're on the precipice of getting your PCC. And going all the way back to that moment with your Australian friend, when you discovered, oh my goodness, the light bulb went off, I've got to become a coach. Quickly, what was that line from that moment to where you sit today, ACC on the cusp of PCC? What were the steps that you took?
It was one, an understanding and an awareness that this is what I wanted to do. So just a fundamental kind of understanding of that. But then the second piece was understanding who I was, like my values as an individual, and doing the research in certain program types that I thought would speak to me or that did speak to me based on what their focus areas are, their kind of modality of teaching, the frameworks that they use in itself. So it was really making sure that that all seemed to connect on a deeply individualistic level. And it was only through that research, the third step was really just taking action. It was really about, you know what, I'm going to apply, I'm going to submit my application, and just got into the program. And then it was, I'd say from that point forward, it was a snowball effect in my experience. It just, the motivation and energy kept building. As I went through the 9-month program and certification, it fed me in so many ways that I don't even think I could be aware of before I entered into the certification program. But that is what was also the propeller for me. Like, it really propelled me post-certification to just already have some certain things in place in terms of launching my own practice and getting out there. It's not easy. I'm gonna be perfectly honest. I know a lot of people who are listening. It takes real intention, motivation, commitment, and most importantly, action. And I think what I have seen in my experience to date is it's in that space of commitment to action where a lot of people can get tripped up. There's so much space there where if you're kind of not, I'd say, like, there's a lot of noise that can happen as a coach. And so I think it's really important to understand who you are and the impact that you want to have. And before you start to take the action.
Yeah. And so often you get right back to having that vision of success, right? Knowing what your end point is, then, you know, the sooner you know it, it can help dictate the path. Quickly for the listeners, where'd you do your training?
I did it through it's called IPEC for short, but it's the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. It is, you know, a well-respected institution. And again, it's a 9-month program. And the reason what spoke to me most about the program were two things. One was not only the modality or the framework, which is called energy leadership, but also the fact that there's an evaluation or an assessment tool that actually supplements that, along with really a lot of really well thought out and research backed curriculum that I can actually support and use with my clients. That was one piece. The second piece was it really set me up nicely on the path with ICF. So it already was, I think it's ACTP was the accreditation piece. So it really set me up nicely to just, you know, really get in with ICF quickly. And that was some of the key components. It just spoke to me, the whole program.
Kevin, hey, before we get into who you coach and what you coach them on, you had said before that you had your sort of moment of self-introspection. You were wondering, well, gee, what's next? And you settled on coach. Well, I'm just curious, were there any other things you were considering becoming in this next stage of life other than coach?
You know, it was considering perhaps other roles in marketing. What's also I've been very big on as an individual, especially with any company that I'm going to work for, is understanding their culture, sort of their cultures and values, and making sure that there is an alignment. I think that's critical for anyone, especially when it comes to like your engagement and again, kind of purpose, the purpose behind what you do. So for me, I was looking at that piece, but what was also a key component of making that decision was wanting really to own what I do, like to have the ownership of building something. And to me, that is one of the most powerful and empowering pieces of doing what I do and having my own practice is the creation, the creativity that goes along with what I do every day. That was a big driver.
I can really appreciate that. And, you know, to yes, and on top of that, for me, it was when I had my sort of like self-reflection moment and was asking, what do I do next? It was therapist, consultant, or coach. And I'll tell you, I wound up on coach because what hooked me on coaching was the belief that the client has it all in them,
mm-hmm.
which is a big difference from therapy and consulting, which is both about telling the person what's up, you know what I mean, in a lot of ways.
I think you make a really great point. To me, that is fundamental as well, that actually most people know are much wiser than they give themselves credit for and actually have the answers. It's just that perhaps they've never experienced a time and a space where they can start to do the work to get the clarity about what that is for themselves.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. So now tell me, let's move on. So what is it? Tell us who you work with. Tell us who you work with and what kind of work you do with them.
So I work with primarily, you know, I would say senior executives or senior managers, but mostly individuals who are in larger organizations. My big driver also are mission-driven organizations, again, very purpose-driven organizations as well. And really, my focus is to help leaders maximize their potential with a primary focus on emotional intelligence. That is what I do. It's what I love. I think making sense of emotions and understanding how they can help empower us is something that is so, A, needed. I know I needed it. when I wish I had what I had now when I was much younger. But I think that there's a real gap there. So EQ is a fundamental area that I really dial in with my clients to help them raise their EQ.
And EQ for the uninitiated, how would you describe EQ to a youngin?
You know, emotional intelligence is exactly, that's all it is. It's just the ability to have the awareness, the understanding and control of our emotions. And it sounds lofty, but I think what's brilliant is the modality that I actually can use and apply has an entire framework that makes it something very concrete, very tangible, and very actionable. And that to me are those components are key in terms of, you know, being there with our clients as they're on this journey to building greater emotional intelligence.
And that framework you're referring to, I guess, is the energy leadership, the IPEC.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, and before, I want to hear more about that for sure. But, you know, your career, you spent a lot of time in your career at some real big brand name companies, GE, Banana Republic, Old Navy, Fossil, real worldwide brands, I guess. And now you do sort of senior managers and leaders. Is it at companies like these, or do you do different types of companies now? Or
I would say they're companies in this space, but some of the biggest ones that I'm working with right now is a division of the Blackstone Group, which they're huge. And they have various divisions within their overall organization. I'm working with a global financial institution as well. And so I work with usually larger companies, but I also, you know, work with, I'd say, medium-sized companies as well, because there's just so much opportunity. There's, you know, the work that we do has its place everywhere. It's, you know, I've tried to be very specific in terms of who I'm targeting, but certainly I recognize that what we do, the work that I do, and I know that you do, is needed really anywhere from small, medium to large organizations.
So in no way limited to the large corporations. You'll work as small, wherever the work is needed. Cool. So then I guess we can move on to the next sort of phase of this, which is your coaching style. Tell us a little bit about how you coach, Kevin, what your style is like, and what tools and techniques you bring to the practice.
On a personal level, I'd say what I really tap into as a coach in terms of what I rely on in my coaching, you know, is always letting the client set the agenda. As you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of coaches out there. There are a lot of coaches doing coaching. And I think I do believe that the best coaching is fundamentally embedded in the idea that the client does know best. And it's really always the client's agenda. So that is something that I honor. And so should everybody, especially if you're a part of ICF. That piece is key. I am very much I'd say curious by nature. I've always been a curious individual, which has really lent itself well to being, I think, a really helpful coach. Just asking questions, getting really curious is a great way to help people understand who they are better and what they do and how they go about doing what they do. So my curiosity, and I'd say the third piece is my intuition. I have a killer sixth sense that I lean on, that I use, and that I'm not shy to sort of tap into when I sense it. And again, using it in a way where it might be reflective for the client in terms of what's coming up for me as they're sharing what they're sharing. So those are, to me, the three more, I'd say, very personal things that I use. I do use IPEC and the modality of energy leadership as my framework. And that framework consists of 7 different levels of what's called consciousness or energy that every single one of us actually possess and experience in any given situation or context in every day of our lives. And it really is a powerful, I think, modality and framework that, again, helps clients make sense of their thoughts, emotions, and actions. That's the core framework is based on thoughts, emotions, and actions across those 7 different levels of consciousness.
And even with that, there's not a challenge letting the client set the agenda or letting the client lead?
That's a great question to make. It really is an overlay. It's almost a philosophy on life is what I would describe it. It is embedded in more of, you know, the positive psychology. There is a lot of neuroscience as well embedded in the overall framework and is the history behind the framework itself. But it's an overlay. You can use it in any really in any given situation in your life. That's what makes it really fun. And I think also daunting, you know, because it's about understanding it at first, understanding what it is and how to use it.
Now, there was obviously a time in life, or maybe there wasn't, but I assume that there's a time in life where you were sort of, you before you had an understanding of energy leadership, and now it's a central part of how you do your coaching. But has energy leadership itself affected you and you in your life?
100%. 100%. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I apply it. That is the work that I do. That's the work that I do with my clients. So I hold myself, I do walk the talk. I hold myself accountable. I use the framework almost every day in my life. And I can tell you that it is what's partly behind the success that I've had to date and that I will continue to have as I apply myself. It really is something that fundamentally has allowed me to understand myself in much more, in much broader dimensions, but also in a much more deeper way as well.
That's very cool. Thank you for that. A few minutes ago, you were talking about intuition, about how the third part of it for you is the intuition. And I'm also a big fan of capturing, getting an intuitive hit, and then sharing it, of course, without attachment with a client. And I was wondering if you could maybe think up a success story, or maybe even more interesting, a failure story, based on when you've had an intuitive hit and given that to a client and it's worked or it hasn't.
You know, I think, God, it's hard to think of it as specific. I'm trying to think of a client even this morning without sharing again any of the real specifics. It's, I think, you know what it is? It may be my intuition, but a lot of times I may position my intuition by saying what I'm hearing is as a way to make the connection with what the client has shared. And it might be a slightly different angle, right? Right? Like it just might be a few different choices of words. But what I do is combine that so that then I will, of course, you know, obviously with the client ask, what do you think about that? Or what if anything does that mean to you? And usually the reinforcement is like, oh my God, you nailed it. You know, like that's exactly what it is. But then I think what it does, it's a tool that helps to clear it as well, to keep the conversation moving forward and obviously to build on, because then the client, if they're acknowledging that they're like, yes, this is what it is, they're able to sort of continue to build on it through the awareness of just, wow, this, you've said it in a much more succinct and maybe clarified way for me that I wasn't able to put it in. So I think that's part of what to me, intuition is maybe a little bit of helping to say things and read it in a way that either I've had already that experience, or certainly those are just, it's the words that are coming to me as the person is speaking.
And all the way evoking awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Hey, Kevin, I know you have a signature. I know you have a signature 12-week program that I want to ask you about because I find programs fascinating. But before we get there, I wanted to ask clarify, do you work with clients in an ongoing way? Do you have clients that stick with you month after month, year after year?
Yes, and yes. So typically my packages with my clients, we're doing work at 6 months would be the shortest time frame. And I've had clients who have been with me now for over maybe a year, year and a half. So you can see that there's a longer journey, and that's partly based on, again, the results that they are experiencing for themselves and recognizing that, wait, there's more, like there's so much more for me to do and explore. And so I've been lucky. I've been very fortunate to have those ongoing clients and building those relationships.
It's great that, thank you for that. And I ask because, you know, I do believe that there's always a next thing. There's always something for the right kind of client. I do believe they can almost work with a coach indefinitely, because there is sort of I've not found the end. There's clients that I've worked with for years too, and I've not found it. You know, some of them, it doesn't end. It can kind of go on and on. But I was just curious if you did that as well. Now, your 12-week program is called Leading Kinder. And is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And would you care to open up a little bit about what the purpose of that program is and what the curriculum is like, perhaps?
So I'll start off because I feel like this is a great way to keep people engaged, is that for me, the idea of leading kinder for me is changing the paradigm of what leadership is by asking the question, you know, what if the primary measure of effective leadership is what you feel? So again, you'll see that there's a deep connection to emotion and the EQ aspect of it. But that was really the brainchild behind it is, you know, as leaders, we have all kinds of KPIs and measures that we're using to understand our overall effectiveness, whether it's from return on investment to, what I really get into is thinking about what if you have a dashboard and a KPI that's also an indicator around what you're actually feeling as a result of how you're leading. How would you really rate your overall level of success if what you tell me you're experiencing and what you feel is a lot of stress, anxiety, and self-doubt and worry? I think most leaders, if they're being pretty objective, would say, wow, there's some real opportunity for growth here because I spend 60% of my time feeling this way. And so the idea is, there is opportunity that you can definitely take that 60% and move it down to 30% or 20% of your time. So that's really, I would say, for me, that's a great way to tell a little bit about what it is that's really what it's embedded in, is this idea of thinking about it a little bit differently than maybe most people do. And it really is honing in and focus on what matters most, which is, again, helping leaders understand their personal leadership style, as well as identifying the gaps in those skills, behaviors, and traits that are really required for them to grow and to move hopefully upwards for the most part in their career. And again, the focus is emotional intelligence. That is the primary component, is building some awareness around EQ and emotional control.
So awareness around emotional intelligence, awareness around that control, the ability to control and manage those emotions. And then taking and applying that back to the executive leadership sphere in a way of, where are you now and what would your life be better if it were 60% less or 60% more of in any given dimension? Is that right?
Correct. I mean, that kind of makes it, I think, much more tangible for people to wrap their heads around there. It's composed of six modules. So there's six modules within the 12-week program. And one of the modules, that it's the second one, is really the one that's focused around EQ and emotional control. The first module is really helping professionals understand, and leaders, their own identity and their own individual personal leadership style. And again, a lot of this is work that I'd say most leaders don't spend the time doing. They're busy people. They have families. They may not have families. I mean, there's a whole plethora of different leadership styles. But the idea is, starting with them, helping them understand, who are you? Who are you as a leader? And how are you leading? Which I think is the more important question. Because how are you leading allows someone to open up the space to understand where are those gaps in the skills, behaviors, and traits that are going to be required for their growth. And then it builds on itself. So there's six total modules to the program.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So you want to, what's modules 3, 4, 5, and 6?
So module 3 is called How Binary Thinking Kills Productivity. The next one, and that gets into this idea of really looking at things. A lot of leaders do this from a very kind of black or white, good or bad, right or wrong lens. That is something that I see all the time. Even the language that leaders use around this, in terms of that's not right or this is wrong, a lot of it's very relative, and there's no really no way to measure right or wrong. And now if we get into ethics, that might be a different discussion. But when we talk about leadership, binary thinking can be a real, I'd say, non-empowering way to look at your world in terms of how you're leading. The next module, which is number 4, we get into what I call sort of the antidotes, which is compassion and curiosity. So that's a build after understanding how binary thinking can kill productivity. And then the 5th one is about listening and using listening as a differentiator. And then the last module is all about bringing all of this together and putting it into action by leading kinder.
Very comprehensive. I can see how one builds on the other, and I can see how that pathway goes from 1 to 6. And I can certainly could envision how this would work and how this could really change the life of someone who is wound up in a leadership role, is feeling, you know, sort of all the things they typically feel, from overwhelmed to imposter syndrome, and how this could really just sort of really focus things in for them.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, this program, Leading Kinder, is this your own creation?
It is. I'm full credit, full transparency. A lot of it is embedded within, you know, the framework and the modality of energy leadership. So in all fairness, that's also given in a lot of the curriculum and the exercises that make up each of those modules. A lot of it is either inspired by energy leadership from IPEC, or there are components that are directly taken from the tools that I have that are available to me that are a part of those modules.
Yeah, great. And I think that's fantastic, right? Because now we're talking about, you know, not just something that's been pulled out of thin air, but something that's actually based in science and has been around and has been, you know, proven time and time again.
Correct.
But applied in the very Kevin Hunting way.
Yes. I love how you said that.
Yeah. In the two steps forward way. That's the name of your company, right? Two Steps Forward.
Two Steps Forward Coaching.
Uh-huh. And why Two Steps Forward?
It's two steps because I truly believe, and I know my own behavior as an example, is that we don't tend to make quantum leaps when we talk about change, especially change in our own behavior or any behavior. It's really about making those small micro steps towards what our goal is, whether it's whatever we desire in life, making small incremental steps. I think one of the biggest things I've been made aware of is what's beautiful is when you start to take those steps, there is a multiplying factor, I will say, that with some of my clients that I've worked with, because, right, you're actually seeing the outcome of taking action and stepping sometimes into maybe places that don't feel so comfortable. But it's in doing that that you start to say, like, wow, like this, I have a different outcome. Like there's something different and it's what I'm desiring. And that in itself can become a huge motivator for people. And it actually makes it easier. It's most of the time, right, we're scared to take that step. Most people are stuck in just, God, I know I want to take the step, but the work is in taking the actual step. And so I have found that. So I will say that there are people that can get there quicker the more that they actually embrace the idea of those kind of micro steps and changes in behavior.
And can you work with someone? Let me ask you, can you work with someone who shows up and says, Kevin, I know something's wrong. I don't know what it is.
I think I could work with someone. I think to me, though, there'd be some other, similar to you, I have an onboarding process or a discovery type call. There's definitely some key questions that for me are important because, right, just as much as the client may be looking for support in whatever area of their life, especially leadership, I have my own criteria and I am selective as well. I do want to work with a certain type of person. And one of those key factors is, you know, what have they demonstrated already in their life in terms of stepping into some uncomfortable situations and having gone through that? I really think that to me is foundational. So I'd say, you know, I'm open, but then yes, I also have my criteria that I use to determine whether or not I think we're going to be the optimal fit, this is going to be a really good fit for both of us.
I'm so glad you brought that up because it was literally the next question that I had on my list here, which was, I was curious about how you wind up getting clients, not so much on the mechanics do a consult and then we do chemistry and it works or it doesn't, but more about sort of like at a persona level. Like, for example, there's someone out there, they've been an executive for a couple of years, they're getting stressed or they're getting this or they're getting that. And that puts them on a path at which then Kevin picks them up and takes them to the next level. Or, you know, what does that typical client path look like?
I mean, the typical client path for me in terms of, are you saying how they find me or maybe both, how I find them or?
Kind of both. I mean, to make the question more complicated, sort of, but yeah, like, you know, that's, yeah. What makes them come to you?
Gotcha.
What makes the clients come to you, Kevin?
You know, I think a lot of what it is recognized is that there is already awareness there around like, wow, this is limiting me. I may be aware of that this is really limiting my potential or my growth where I'm at. And I need to wrap my head around this. Like I can't let this be hanging out there because a lot of times what that means is it's someone's going to be overlooked for a promotion. That's what it can mean in real terms, is that you're not going to be that person who's going to be selected. I do work in it. Now I think I understand better the question. So thank you. I work both in the sense of high performers. So people who are doing amazing, they are killing it in their roles. And, you know, they're demonstrating all of the values and the behaviors of not only leadership, but that, you know, their organization embodies. But what's really it's about is, hey, this is about what is the next level for you. So it could be doing a gap analysis, which I have a tool that we use to do that, where it's about, I'm a VP now, but I'm being groomed to be a senior vice president. Okay, let's talk about what that looks like as an SVP. What are the traits, characteristics, skills, and behaviors that you are going to have to exhibit and need to exhibit to embody that role? And that's one way to start to build that the plan around it. The other is, on the flip side, is yes, I also have clients where it might be more of a performance-based issue. It's hey, you know, your lack of decision-making and your confidence in your decision-making is really having a detrimental impact on not only yourself, but the team. And so we're gonna do some coaching around this. So there's both sides of the coin that I have focused on. And I think what's interesting is sometimes the areas that tend to get a little bit more profound are the ones where it might be more of a performance-based issue, is because I don't know why that is. I can't explain exactly why that is, but there tends to be more. It might just be that there's more that's coming up around what is holding someone back, and really getting into the nuts and bolts of what that is, and them building the understanding for themselves what that is.
That's exciting. Thank you for bringing that up. That's really cool, because that also is someplace where I like to, well, play is not the right word, but like to explore with my clients. These are the puzzles that I like to work into, which is, what is the issue? What is holding us back here? I mean, come on, you're what's the hold up? What's the, yeah. Hey, Kevin, I also wanted to ask you, so much of what I see coming up again and again are issues of identity that we're dealing with people. The idea that they are something, or that there's an identity that they have to live up to, or they've connected or intertwined their identity with certain aspects of their job or their life or their social status or whatever. I know that, you know, humanity and shared experiences are something that that are important to you. And it's important that, you know, you think it's important that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that people understand who they are as individuals. And I was wondering if you could speak to that a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I it's interesting because this, to me, one of the topics that I think it you're hitting on for me that I see with clients is a lot of times people thinking, like you said, they're acting, leading, and making decisions based on what they think other people want. Either they think that other people want to hear, or they're trying, you know, it may be a pleasing type of thing that they want, that that validation, that positive reinforcement, so to say. And not that positive reinforcement can be very healthy, but what I feel is lacking a lot of times is that early on, I think through our, like, if you're thinking about high school in the US and college, where do you ever see that there's real coursework around helping people get the clarity around who I am as a person, right? Like, who I am, what do I value? What is it that makes me, that fills me up, or what doesn't fill me up? I mean, sometimes it's easier to look at what doesn't. But for me, that big question is, I think, a big question that at even, like, I'd say the humanitarian level, there's so much opportunity. There is just so much opportunity for personal growth and development in almost any single individual understanding who they are. And for the sake of hopefully building a greater awareness around just loving who they are, and not it being based on something external to them, or again, a validation or something. It's hard to talk about it, I think, in ambiguous terms, but I know, for me, I do think that the work that we do is what is going to move the needle in terms of even a lot of the issues that we're seeing in our society, which, again, a lot of this is learned, whether what we've internalized during our younger years and the messages that we've received. But I feel like this idea of personal growth and development will lead us hopefully to a path where there is deeper, like, human connection and empathy, and hopefully just happiness, a general sense of happiness and well-being.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it seems that those kind of notions going in that direction are thought of as relatively new things within the past decades. The idea that you could really double down on what will fulfill me, you know, what is good for me emotionally. And also, coaching is also a very new profession that's just a decade or two old. I think there's a certain amount of that that goes hand in hand. I think in many ways, Coaching can very much empower that process, that discovery process, and also, as you say, to take the action to actually bring it into your life and fully embrace it and make it real.
Absolutely.
Kevin, we're almost at the end here. It's been fantastic talking to you. So thank you for being here today. Hey, before we get into the final questions, I just want to know, where can our listeners find you if they feel compelled to reach out and learn more about you and what you do?
So you can find me on my, just go to my website, which is, you know, www.twostepsforwardcoaching.com. And that is the number two, not T-W-O, but the number two. And then you can find me in Instagram, on LinkedIn, as well as Facebook at Two Steps Forward Coaching. Again, the number two.
Thank you for that. Okay, last question. Tell me, Kevin, and this is a serious one. What do you see, to you, what does the future of coaching look like?
For me, the future of coaching is hopefully creating a kinder, more compassionate world. And I also say that because that is what my purpose is. That's what drives Two Steps Forward Coaching. It's really a part of my DNA. I just feel like I'm like, you know what? There needs to be more human to human, I think, interaction and connection. And coaching is something that can help really any generation too. I think where there's the bigger opportunity right now is really in younger generations. I see both Gen Z, especially Gen Z, but millennials, it's tough. It's a really tough environment. And I do think that there's going to be even more of a presence of coaches needed because these younger individuals, there's so many issues that coaching could help support and foster in terms of creating, I think, greater self-love and greater self-compassion.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that. Kevin, I just want to say it's been great talking to you today. I've really appreciated the clarity and the specificity that you have in your own mission and your practice and your application of the art. So thank you for sharing that with us today. I think it's always great to see that. Thank you so much for the work you do, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
What a great conversation. It's always so educational and inspirational to talk with colleagues and learn from their experiences. That's why it's so important to continue to collaborate with others. And that is one of the best reasons to consider working with a certified coach. Working with a certified coach opens a whole new space to learn, grow, and design your future in a way that you want it. To learn more about what coaching is and how it can help you, please visit our website at icfsouthflorida.org. There you'll find educational resources, our events calendar, and our coaches directory. We hope you'll find exactly what you're looking for, and if you like what you see, consider becoming a member. We would love to welcome you to our community. That's it for now. Thanks again for joining us in the ICF South Florida's Coaches Corner. Until next week, I'm Eric Gorris. Take care and be well.